Okay, I'm going to be firing a lot of verses at you, but I'm just going to give you references. So if you want to scribble on the back of your sheet and get your pen out and get ready to do that. So I'm probably not going to be turning to all these and reading them all, but I'm giving them to you for reference. As I was thinking about this, I believe the Lord gave me something new about the dispensation of grace. I was telling Betty on the way out here, she asked me what I was going to speak about. I said, well, you know, I'm going to share with people what the Lord has given me this morning. It's amazing, I told her, you know, when you come to mid-acts dispensationalism and accept that as a truth, what God gives to you, it's like a puzzle coming together. And like somebody mentioned this morning in the letter that Keith read, that answers come, you know, the contradictions are corrected, you know, and it really is amazing. And I thank God for this truth. But you know, as I was thinking about this sermon, I felt like there has been a great failure of denominational churches to realize the important truths of the dispensation of grace. They have a slogan they use all the time: we are not under law, but under grace. It's a favorite of theirs and often repeated, but seldom practiced. While they mix in ample doctrine from the dispensation of law into their grace platform, there is a demonstrated failure to recognize that grace and law are two completely different programs. They're not supposed to be merged together. They're separate. And the two programs are the prophecy program, which goes from Exodus through the Gospel of John, including the book of Revelation. You know that, according to Hebrews chapter 9, that the Gospels are, that the New Testament is not in effect until the death of the testator, which happens at the end of each one of the Gospel accounts. Therefore, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John find themselves in Old Testament territory. You got that? And 90% of the preachers and denominational churches are preaching from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The second program is called the mystery program. So we have the prophecy program and the mystery program, which was given to the Apostle Paul and contained in his letters or his epistles. So the prophecy program was the old program, and the mystery program is the new program. The mystery program is introduced to us by a totally unprophesied appearance and return of Jesus Christ after his resurrection in Acts chapter 9. And this, to me, emphasizes that the mystery is not part of the prophecy program. Indeed, Paul tells us that the mystery programs are known by God since the beginning of the world, was kept secret from the prophecy program. That's Romans 16:25 and Ephesians 3:2-5. Well, folks, this is powerful stuff. The Bible says if the princes of the world had known the mystery, they would not have crucified our precious Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:8. This is powerful stuff, what I'm giving you this morning. There is a failure to see what I'm trying to convey to you this morning by our denominational churches. So this morning I want you to see, before we get into our lesson about the ambassador of being an ambassador for Christ, the title of this sermon would be The Authorized Messenger and Representative of God, or You Are the authorized messenger and representative of God. So what I want you to see this morning, first of all, is the dispensation of grace is a new dispensation. Well, I got that, Brother Mike. Everybody knows that. And that new dispensation was given to the Apostle Paul in reference Ephesians 3:2. Now, in the Apostle Paul, we have a new apostle. We got a new dispensation. Now we got a new apostle, Acts 9:15 and Romans 11:13. And that new apostle was given a new message. That's Romans 3:24, Galatians 1:11 and 12. So we have a new dispensation, we have a new apostle, we have a new message. And in this new dispensation is directed by God in a new direction. That's Acts 13:47 and Romans 11:13, Colossians 1:27. With that new apostle, we get a new teacher, the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 1:11. So as Gentiles, the Apostle Paul became our apostle. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Romans 11:13. This gave Paul a special authority over us and in the dispensation of grace. Just as Moses had authority over Israel in the dispensation of law. Now, Paul, as our apostle said, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Now, some may mark this down as just being arrogance on the apostle's part, but it wasn't. He was appointed by Jesus Christ to be the apostle of the Gentiles. It's not arrogance. Israel's program and gospel was superseded. Oh, that's blasphemy. No, it's not. Israel's program was superseded in a new program and a new gospel to and through the Apostle Paul came to us from the risen Christ. This is powerful stuff, folks. Amen. If you can get a hold of this, like the brother said this morning, it will change your life. It will change the way you see your scripture. The Apostle Paul is given to us for a new dispensation of grace. 1 Timothy 2:7 says, Paul is our teacher. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, Paul is our pattern. You know what a pattern is? It's a form. You ever bought a new house? They have the driveway poured and the sidewalks poured. They put up a form. They put up boards. And they pour that concrete inside that form and they smooth it all out and level it all out. And that's the shape of that's the pattern, that's the form. And Paul was given to us as our pattern. 1 Timothy 1:16. 1 Corinthians 11:1 holds him up as our example. We're to use the Apostle Paul as our example. We're to be following the Apostle Paul. And he was given a special message by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is for us to emulate and to copy in this dispensation of grace. The Apostle Paul teaches us the differing Bible doctrines of the dispensation of grace, and he models them for us. We are to live them in our lives by following the Apostle Paul. That's powerful stuff. How could that be missed by dispensationalists, by the mainstream churches? I want you to see that in the dispensation of grace, it is the dispensation of the new. Not only is it a new dispensation, it's the dispensation of the new. we have in the dispensation of grace the new man, Ephesians 4:24, the new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and the new body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27 and Ephesians 3:6. Finally, we have a new mission in the dispensation of grace. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says, God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Our new mission, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, when you start thinking about that, and you think about those of you that testified this morning, you were Baptist and how you came out of that, and you think of the emphasis that they place on evangelism, but where they get their driving force out of the Great Commission and the things that they keep going back into the Gospels and pulling out, it's just I mean, when you come to mid-Acts dispensationalism and realize the truths of it, these things start coming together, and it just locks everything in for you, and it is such a blessing. We are ambassadors of Christ. We're not working under the Great Commission. Do you understand that? Paul wasn't working under the Great Commission. Oh, that's blasphemy. But no, it's not. Paul said, I come not to baptize. How could he say, I come not to baptize, if he was working under the Great Commission, which commands baptism? We have a new mission. We're to be ambassadors for and of Christ. So, this morning, since this is our new mission, we want to investigate this thing of ambassadorship. Just what is an ambassador? What does that mean? And Pastor Steve, I was thinking this morning, you probably preached on this several times when you were starting this church. I didn't find your sermon on it. I'll have to go back and look for that. Just what is an ambassador? What does that mean? As originally defined by the Congress of Vienna in 1815, ambassadors were regarded as the personal representative of their country's chief executive and were entrusted with extensive power. In modern times, they are considered the spokesperson of their foreign office. The ambassador has what they call plenipotentiary authority, which means they have full authority to represent their nation. Honey, give me the water, please. I just asked my wife to bring me up some water because I'm going crazy here. Actually, I want to get her on camera here so you can all see how pretty she is. Thank you, sweetheart. So, as Christians, as ambassadors for Christ, we have full authority to represent Christ, His nation, and as our nation, and our God as His ambassadors, introducing others to the wonderful truths and the wonderful message of reconciliation with God, offering the terms of citizenship to the nation, heaven. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever thought of yourself as a personal representative of Jesus Christ? Wow. And I want to ask you, as we walk in our Christian life here on this earth, are we living and acting like His personal representative? Are we living and acting like we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Have you ever realized the power that God from heaven has given to us here on this earth as human beings? He didn't give it to angels. He didn't tell angels to come down here and be his ambassadors. He gave that to us. He gave us the ability to change lives, not angels. He gave us the ability to be his spokesperson with the gospel, not to angels. That was given to men. Amen?
Amen.
That's something else. That I said it over and over this, but that's powerful stuff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So I asked this morning, shouldn't that fact that we are ambassadors change the way we live and the way we act? I wonder if you've noticed, if you're known as a Christian on your job site, in your neighborhood, people watch you. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
People in this world have a very good idea of how a representative of Jesus Christ should act. You know that? And they're watching you. And sooner or later, you're going to hear, "Oh, Mike, I am surprised that you told that joke." Sooner or later, you're going to hear, "Mike, I'm surprised that you said that or that you did that." It's happened to me, and I'll bet it's happened to you. Because when you're a Christian and you let people know that you're a Christian, they are watching you. So when you begin to see yourself as an ambassador for heaven, then you may truly hesitate before you do or say some of the things that you used to do and say.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:15 through 17. So, what does a person need to know to be a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ? As grace believers, we're informed by the Apostle Paul that we are Christ's ambassadors. I got that word "are," that we are Christ's ambassadors, underlined. He didn't ask us if we wanted to be ambassadors for him. He said we are ambassadors for him.
Hallelujah.
That's a job you've got, whether you like it or not. 2 Corinthians 5:10 through 11 and 18 and 20 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord." I just recently saw that in my Bible, that little phrase, "knowing the terror of the Lord." You should underline that in your Bible. When you realize this is the judgment seat of Christ, when I was taught, I'm an ex-Baptist, I was taught that the judgment seat of Christ is going to be cotton candy and popsicles for the Christians, that all they're going to get is rewards from Jesus Christ for how they served him here on this earth. Paul uses the phrase, "knowing the terror of the Lord." I don't think it's going to be a fun thing. Or Paul wouldn't have said, "the terror of the Lord." We are going to be standing at the throne of the Almighty Creator God, answering for how we served him on this earth. And it's going to be terrifying. "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." How are we going to perform that ministry that he gave us? We're going to answer for that. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, not unto the angels. He gave it to us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul is begging people to get right with God, to be reconciled with God. So again, Paul does not ask if we wanted to be Christ's ambassadors. He informs us that we are Christ's ambassadors. And folks, I'm telling, to me, that is just sobering, a sobering thought. Especially sobering when you consider that we are before the judgment seat of Christ when this is taking place, and answering to Him as to what kind of ambassadors we were on this earth. I've been a Christian a long time. I've been to many different churches and heard many different sermons. I've subscribed to many different Christian magazines and newsletters. And strangely enough, you don't hear a lot about this thing about being ambassadors for the Lord. You just don't hear a lot about it. So we ask, what would a person need to know to be a good ambassador for Christ? And the answer is, to be a good ambassador, we must, first of all, take personally Paul's statement that we are ambassadors for Christ and place that thought deep into our psyches. Allow that idea to soak down into our very soul and our very spirit. We need to allow the knowledge that we are His ambassadors to dominate our minds and our hearts. And if we do that, it will act to control our every emotion and our every behavior. It will govern our responses to our physical and social environments if we will acknowledge that we are ambassadors for Christ. Second, to be a good ambassador, we must understand we are an official of another country. By way of definition, an ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as a representative in residence from one sovereign or one government to another sovereign and another government. An ambassador is a representative in residence. An ambassador is sent from one country to another country by his sovereign. So Jesus Christ is our sovereign. We are sent by him to another country. And when the ambassador from one country sent to another country, he often lives in that foreign country for years and years and years as ambassador for his sovereign. So for the Christian, as Christ's ambassadors, we are indeed residents of another country. That country is heaven. Amen. We've been sent to our respective places here on earth for service to fulfill our ambassadorship to all those people that are around us and in our circle of acquaintances. Philippians 3:20 says, our conversation, that word conversation means our lifestyle or our citizenship, is in heaven. Amen. Colossians 1:13 says, God hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Of course, when Jesus rose from the dead, He ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Romans 8:34 says that in Christ, it is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God. And as believers, we are in Christ. Romans 12:5, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So as Christ is, this blows my mind. Somehow Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and because we are in his body, we're sitting there with him. It's incredible. Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:2, there's many other verses that speak to our home being in heaven. And the songs of our faith proclaim this wonderful truth to us. Songs like this: world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Songs like Sweet Beulah Land, I'm kind of homesick for a country. That country's heaven. I'm homesick for it. Man, I'm not a well man. I'm ready to go to heaven. The truth of our homeland is heaven becomes very comforting to the Christian. And as I was preparing this sermon, my wife and I had a funeral visitation we had to go to. And the fact that the family believed that their mother had gone to heaven was very comforting to them. She was simply going to her homeland. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand. That an ambassador has various diplomatic duties. An ambassador's primary duty is to portray his country in a positive light. He does that through public relations, by maintaining a good image at all times, and he is willing to answer difficult questions about his sovereign and his country when needed. I believe this speaks to the Christian's manner of life. It is the 2 Timothy 3:10 and 14. These verses, 2 Timothy 3:10 and 14, are an example to us from our Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul is our teacher. And he was always willing to talk to someone about the Lord. The ambassador will also use education. It is key that he educates members of the public about his country through informal everyday conversations or the use of a formal outreach policy. I think this speaks to the visitation program of the church and the people in the church. The ambassador is constantly seeking ways to turn his hearers to a positive conversation about his country or about his sovereign, and seeking a way to introduce them to his sovereign and his country. So the ambassador has various diplomatic duties, and those duties may include things like representing the policies and interests of his home country and his sovereign. And this means he will speak the will and the message of his sovereign, not his own. He doesn't say what he wants to say. He says what his sovereign wants to say. And therefore, the Christian should have a good understanding of the message of his sovereign. This means you need to be studying your Bible, does it not? Do you have a time each day that you study Scripture? How do you study that? Do you study doctrines? Do you just read? Do you let the Lord speak to you? Do you open your Bible and stick your finger down and read a verse and that's it for the day. I want to encourage you to have a systematic plan in your Bible study, you know. Study subject matter. Study doctrine. Study the Apostle Paul. Emulate what he taught in his life. Have a knowledge of your scripture and be able to open it up and be able to show others about it. In the Christian case, the ambassador is extremely interested in getting people saved. It is God's will that all men be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. Some of the ambassador's duties may include promoting his home nation's policies abroad. This would be the Christian telling the unsaved of God's glorious grace and that God wants to be reconciled with them. Negotiating agreements and treaties with the countries and residents to which he is assigned. This speaks to the Christian's attempt to bring the sinner to a point of decision to be reconciled. More of the ambassador's duties. He works to safeguard his nation's citizens and interests abroad. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country, undoubtedly there are going to be other people from his country that live in the same foreign country that he's serving in. So it's his job to safeguard their interests. A citizen who is abroad may want to visit the American embassy and see the American ambassador for help that he's in a need that he has in that foreign country. So I believe that this speaks to Christians helping Christians. This may be this safeguarding his nation's citizens and interests abroad may be as simple a thing as writing letters to his congressman to protect a godly principle or to speak out against an ungodly, unconstitutional law. Writing a letter. He is expected to monitor, the ambassador is also expected to monitor international situations. And once he sees them, to let his sovereign know of the economic and political changes that are occurring in his assigned country. And so I think this point speaks to the prayer life of the ambassador. As God's ambassadors, perhaps we should not spend so much time going over our wish list of God, I want this, and God, I need this, and God, would you give me this? And more time informing him, God, what we see down here. Lord, you wouldn't believe what they just normalized homosexual marriage. Lord, the abortion thing is going crazy. That Lord, you ought to see what's going on down here. Look what they're passing now, this anti-Second Amendment gun law. Lord, what's going on down here? Tell him what you see. Of course, God already knows what's going on. He's God. But it makes me think that he wants us engaged in prayer with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When you see something in the country you're an ambassador to, you need to pray to God and let him know what you're seeing and what's going on down here. Next, the skills needed to be an ambassador. His skills may include but not be limited to diplomatic skills, negotiation skills, relationship building, management, and conflict resolution skills. For the Christian, these are skills in negotiating and resolving conflict between God and unsaved men, enabling them to be reconciled. So the number one skill that an ambassador needs is diplomacy. The ambassador, above all, is expected to be diplomatic. I think this fits in with Jim's message, Evangelism is Not Bullying, that he brought last week. A Christian is a member of God's diplomatic corps, ought to be diplomatic, dealing tactfully with those who are not from his country. That would be the unsaved. So the ambassador ought not to be obnoxious, badgering, bullying, or forceful in his demeanor. He should strive to give no offense, realizing that he is the authorized messenger and the ambassador of God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21. The ambassador is expected to be highly diplomatic, especially when there is potential for conflict. As he disseminates information about his country, as his spokesperson, he should do so while guarding his personal opinion and echoing the official position of his sovereign. You could open up on that right there. You could preach a whole sermon on that one right there. Concerning the scope of his attire and personal hygiene, the ambassador should be diplomatic. The ambassador should look and act the part. As a Christian, you are a child of the King. 1 Timothy 1:17 and Philippians 2:15. Therefore, you should not act, dress, or smell like somebody else's child. So, in echoing the official position of his sovereign, this speaks to the Christian's tactfulness in giving the gospel. No one should ever be offended by our manner, by our delivery, or by our personal opinions. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. This actually happened to me. It's an illustration of this point that speaks to a Christian's tactfulness in giving the gospel. I was in a large church, and it was a visitation day, and I believe it was a Saturday. We were out in the early afternoon. We were going out two by twos. It was the church calling and visitation day. And we were in the parking lot of an apartment complex, and the apartments were built up on a hill with concrete steps coming down to the parking lot. And here comes a guy. He's obviously working, going second shift. He's coming down. He's got his steel-toe shoes on. He's got his work clothes on. He's carrying his lunchbox with him. He's galloping down these steps, heading for the parking lot. So the approach was made by the soul winner with his Bible open. And the guy's getting in his car. And he's snapping a seatbelt. And he says to the soul winner, "Mister, I got to go to work." So the soul winner puts his head in the car window, puts his open Bible on the steer wheel of the car, and starts showing the guy verses. The guy says, "Mister, I got to go to work." The soul winner ignores him. He's determined to give this man the gospel. The man puts his car into reverse. And he says again, "Mister, I gotta go to work." The soul winner ignores him again and keeps pressing the gospel on him. The man begins to back out of the parking place, and the soul winner's walking along beside the car with his head in the window, pointing at verses on his steering wheel, telling him the gospel. The guy says, "Mister, I got to go to work." And he's pushing a key on its electric window, putting up the driver's window on the guy's head. The guy barely turns his head sideways and pulls it out just enough. He didn't get caught in the window, but the guy put his peeling rubber out of the parking lot to get away from the soul winner and get to work on time. So when questioned about his methods, the soul winner said, "Which hell was I going to drive him to? Hell number one or hell number two? So obviously this was not diplomatic on his part. And what happened was probably very harmful. I feel that it violated the ambassador's duty to be diplomatic. When we're thinking about talking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and their need to be reconciled with him, to be diplomatic, I think diplomacy would ask permission at every point of the salvation message. You need to ask permission to show them the gospel, and they will say yes or no. You need to ask them permission. Once you show them they're sinners, you need to ask them permission to show them the next point, that there's a penalty for sin. Once they see the penalty of sin, you need to ask their permission to show them that that penalty has been paid. Because if they don't want to listen to you, they're not going to be receptive. It's not good ground. If they say no, you might just close your Bible and leave. God will use those first two points by His Holy Spirit and will minister to their heart. But if you keep pressing that gospel on them when they don't want you to go any farther, that is harmful. That is not good. I believe that's true. It's diplomatic to ask permission to show them the gospel at every point that you present to them. So in closing, may we as ambassadors of Christ realize our unique position in this dispensation of grace. Amen.
Amen.
May we cultivate and improve our skills as negotiators and diplomats. Work on your vocabulary. Work on your Bible knowledge. Work on your negotiating skills. Try things out between your husband and wife. You know, do things that, you know, that you might encounter, you know. What do you call that? Role play. And may we constantly strive to be a proper representative of our sovereign Lord and Jesus. And may we bring many to a reconciliation with God. Amen. And that's it. Amen. I hope you got blessed by it, because I did as I was preparing it.